In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We heard the Lord today say, I have compassion on the multitude. Well, there are many multitudes out there. Let us figure out today what that multitude might be for us. Now, we know that from reading Scripture, there's a vast multitude of saints and angels in heaven. Well, I don't think the Lord needs to have compassion on them. He's not talking about those people. He is talking about, of course, the people that are directly around him, the multitude, but also many others who, with whom he would be deeply and intimately tied. The Lord has compassion on all souls and desires that they be with him. And so when we consider what a multitude might be for us, we look around and we see that there are a vast number of people around us, many of whom need help. But, you know, we hear an awful lot about people like that from the pulpit, don't we? So let's just make the assumption that, yes, we should be performing corporal works of mercy and then move on. There's another multitude out there whom we perhaps don't always think about because we don't see them. And that is the multitude of poor souls who are in purgatory. It's a vast multitude. They are our brothers and sisters. They are members of the church. You remember the old distinction about the church being comprised of three great throngs. There's the church triumphant in heaven, the church here on earth, the church militant. We are like soldiers on the way, marching toward our fatherland. And then there is the vast throng of those who are in purgatory, the church being purified, the church suffering, sometimes we call it. These people are our brothers and sisters, and they need our help. And in imitation of the Lord, of all the saints, we should have compassion on that multitude. Now, we have a merciful God, whose mercy is beyond our understanding and certainly beyond our deserving. But God, in his mercy, does not stop being just. God's justice is perfect. We don't know exactly how God disposes all things in his justice, but whatever he disposes is going to be perfect, because God can be no less than perfect. And because God is just, at the same time as being merciful, he still demands satisfactions for the debt that we sinners owe. When we sin, we harm our relationship with God and with others. And in justice, we have to make satisfaction for the harms that we have done. God, yes, is merciful. And his mercy we can always, always obtain by asking for it. But his justice we are going to get whether we want it or not. And so we may as well begin to make satisfaction for the sins that we have committed already while we are still alive, but then also to help those others who at this point are suffering souls in purgatory. Our brothers and sisters, a vast throng, a multitude that needs compassion. The souls in purgatory are beloved of God. And they have a great advantage over us, in one sense. They have seen already the face of God. They therefore know that every other good other than God is not worthy of their complete love. They know this now. They're absolutely convinced of it. They do not need to live anymore by faith. They have seen God, and now they long for him and desire him with a love and a passion and a fervor that can only be described like a burning fire. The burning fire of their love, while they are still separated from God, is like a purification. It is taking from them all of the imperfections of loves that they've ever had before, of inordinate love for material things, for any kind of creature. And also, they are now, with a perfect kind of regret, they regret every infraction of the love that they should have had for God and for neighbor. Having seen him in the face, They see themselves more clearly, and they understand how they failed in love in this life by even small imperfections. And so in order to enter into that state of bliss called the beatific vision, they need to be purified of all these imperfections, and that is what the state of purgatory is for. Nevertheless, we, because we belong to the church with them, and because so much of what we do is in the spiritual life is accomplished through intermediaries, we can help the souls in purgatory by applying to them, as it were, this vast treasury of the merits of Christ and all the saints. This infinite reservoir of mercy can be applied to them to help them as they are being purified and making satisfaction for the infractions and the sins that they committed in life, both small and great. We are all connected to them. We all belong to each other. We can help each other out, and we must. We must have compassion on them. And we help them by our good works and by our prayers. We can free them from the state of suffering and purification that they're in. Thinking about how good God is to us in this life, how then can we be stingy in our compassion and our mercy and our willingness to help others, including those souls in purgatory? Now, how can we help them? Well, we can certainly help them by our prayers. And there are many prayers that we can say to God to ask them to relieve the suffering of the souls in purgatory and to make satisfaction for the infractions of his love that they committed in life. We can satisfy the infractions made by others by our prayers and also by our mortifications. Fasting and almsgiving are very powerful in the spiritual life, not only to purify ourselves of inordinate earthly desires, too much attachment to material things in this life, but also to help others who are suffering souls in purgatory. We have to develop habits of mercy and habits of compassion by making them a regular part of our daily life. You know, it's really very easy to help the souls in purgatory. Holy Church tells us how we can do this, and even suggests to us specific prayers and practices that we can perform to help them. As a matter of fact, there's even a little handbook. You know, there aren't very many things that are so carefully and easily spelled out for us that we can do in our spiritual lives, our lives as Catholics, but getting indulgences is one of them. There's even a little handbook made called the Handbook of Indulgences, and you can look it up online. There's a great amount of material online about indulgences and what they are and how you can obtain them. It's really not all that difficult. Some of the requirements, however, are that if you're going to get a plenary indulgence, you have to be free from desire for earthly things, especially your sins. You have to be free from any attachment to sin. We can get two different kinds of indulgences: those which fully remit the temporal punishment due to sin for some soul in purgatory, or those which only partially remit that satisfaction which is due. And it's very easy to obtain many partial indulgences, even just little short prayers during the day. Your recitation of the rosary, which is something that you should be doing every day, very consciously, you should make it a part of your life. That, along with many other small practices that sometimes they only take just a few seconds to perform, and you can be doing good for souls in purgatory. Corporal works are wonderful to do. Spiritual works are even greater. I think that one of the most important things that we can do in preparing ourselves to make satisfaction for the sins and transgressions that others have performed is to imitate the Lord in an important thing, and that's to be forgiving to those who wrong us. It's one of the spiritual works of mercy. An attitude of forgiveness, a true spirit of forgiveness, brings us very close to the Lord, love of enemies, even more so. You think of the great example of, for example, Mary Goretti, St. Mary Goretti, Maria Goretti, her relics, her remains are going to be brought to Madison, brought to the Diocese of Madison, and we will have an opportunity to venerate the remains of Mary Goretti in the near future. But think of what she did. Having been attacked, having been assaulted, she forgave her attacker and died in the state of grace, and that great example of her forgiveness moved her attacker to deep remorse, and such that he eventually entered as a lay brother into a religious institute. These are great examples of, the saints give us great examples of forgiveness of one another. Indulgences, fasting, mortification, prayers, having masses said, these are all things that should be part of our regular life as Catholics, our daily lives, our daily habits. We need to develop habits of mercy and habits of compassion. They can sometimes only take a few seconds to perform wonderful things for the saints in purgatory. And just to help you, to give you a visual image, to remind you of your attitude at least once a week, maybe you might think about the church that you enter for your Sunday Mass as being thronged about by countless souls who are suffering in purgatory. And as you approach the church, they reach their hands out to you, almost like the beggar did at the door of the rich man in the parable of Jesus. They're reaching out their hands to you, asking you to be remembered, asking you for prayers, almost as if a single prayer from you might be like a drop of water to give a little relief to their tongue as they wait in the dryness of purgatory, with the burning of their love as they desire to see God. Think of their gratitude as you have helped them into heaven, how they will pray for you and intercede for you before the throne of God. When you come forward to Holy Communion, think about the souls of purgatory lining the aisle next to the pews, standing along the sides of the church here, looking to you, stretching out their hands to you, asking you to help them with your prayers and with your practices. Develop habits of mercy. Develop habits of compassion. Remember not only those of your neighbors who are around you physically, who need your material help, but those who you do not see, who need also your spiritual help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.